This is Fresh Air. Women all over America have been talking about the Clarence Thomas hearings, the Tyson and Kennedy Smith rape trials, and the attack against abortion rights. These stories have focused the anger of many women. So did the movie Thelma and Louise and Susan Faludi's bestseller Backlash. Yet many of today's angry women don't think of themselves as feminists and have never identified with the women's movement. So where is the women's movement today? We invited feminist writer Deirdre English to talk with us. She's a former editor of Mother Jones magazine, and she's now working on a TV series about the second wave of feminism. She recently reviewed Gloria Steinem's new book for the New York Times Sunday Book section. Steinem's book, Revolution from Within, a book of self-esteem, discusses her own burnout and how she realized that in spite of her prominence as a feminist, she was still lacking in self-esteem. She offers many self-help options for women who need to increase their self-esteem. Deirdre English was troubled by this self-help emphasis, which she says might represent more of a retreat than an advance.
Well, what I found troubling about it was that it was too much of a self-help book for me, and I felt in a way that Gloria Steinem, who is someone who I respect and admire tremendously, but that I was saddened to see her emerging here as a follower in a kind of well-established tradition of self-help books for women, rather than in the guys that I prefer to see her in and where I think she's strongest, which is as a political leader of the women's rights movement. And even going farther than that, I think that these two schools of thought, you know, self-help versus political activism on behalf of women, offer very different answers to the kinds of questions about where women's lives are going. And sometimes very contradictory answers.
How are those answers contradictory?
Well, you know, for example, one of the things that Steinem says in her book, she talks about how women have got poor body images, and it's true, and so many women seem to feel that they're fat and or ugly, or in some way there's something deformed about their bodies, and it's a major psychological issue for them. And she concentrates in the book on kind of offering ways that we could feel better about our body image. Well, I think a more feminist approach to that issue is to ask, why is this such a big issue for women and not such a big issue for men? And that something changing the way in which society responds to women might be an ultimately far more effective way of changing the way that we feel about ourselves.
Do you think that there needs to be a combination of both, of looking within and looking at larger social and political causes?
Well, I think that Steinem is saying that there needs to be a combination of both, so I certainly wouldn't want to exaggerate her position. She hasn't turned away from feminism. But in this book, my own sense of the book, I would say, is that it is a kind of an emotional release for her. She describes it that way herself, and she says that, you know, after over 20 years of intense activism, she needed to stop and take a breather and have some therapy and be kinder to herself. And I think that is all well and good, and one feels strongly that Gloria Steinem deserves that. Unfortunately, it in this book, she takes that and transforms it a bit too much for my taste into a political direction for women. After all, the book is a bestseller. She has been out there doing a tour of all major cities and speaking about these ideas and really promoting them. The book is filled with self-help exercises and an appendix with guided meditations that you can do. It is very prescriptive. And I think particularly because it is Gloria Steinem, because she is perceived as a leader, this book sets forth a set of ideas and asks us to emulate them as a direction for the 90s. Let's all stop and look within. Let's all work on our self-esteem. And I think that is a real problem as a political direction for women. I certainly am You know, I'm not against self-esteem or therapy. And I've, you know, turned to therapists myself many times. And I, you know, think that breathing exercises and meditation and all kinds of things that Gloria Steinem recommends in this book are all fine things in themselves. What I am concerned about is the way in which self-help, recovery programs, the whole model of that's come out of the 12-step programs of Alcoholics Anonymous, the way in which personal privatized recovery from a victimized status is becoming a social model in our country, in our culture. And I think too much supplanting a sense that we can change society.
So we're so busy concentrating on how we've been victimized and trying to overcome that sense of victimization, too busy focusing on that to focus more outwardly on larger social, political, feminist issues.
Well, it's not just too busy, but also that it is conceptualizing it as an individual problem. You know, I've been a victim and I need to recover, rather than how can I recover in a society that continuously victimizes not just me, but other people like me, whether that means women or African Americans or other minorities, and that that an individual recovery is, even if it's a partially possible, it's never completely possible, especially when you're talking about something like self-esteem, which is really so tied in to the affirmations that you get from your society. I mean, for example, even Gloria Steinem, I think, experienced this in a funny way when she talks in her book about wanting to be more self-accepting and stop bleaching her hair blonde and wearing less makeup and wearing flat shoes and being less clothes conscious. And she talks about all these things, I think rightly, as moves in the direction of greater personal self-acceptance. And that seems good. Then she goes out to have an interview and kind of introduces this new, less glamorous persona in an interview with someone who wrote about her in Vanity Fair. And she's put down in that interview. She's described as a matron, a little brown wren, and the writer complains that she has faint spots on her sweater.
Yes, right, that's right.
And in other words, she tries to introduce her more self-accepting, you know, new self, and she's shot down for it. And the clear message in the Vanity Fair piece is, hey, bring back the old Gloria. We like the blonde bombshell. Bring her back. You're making a big mistake here, Gloria. You know? Well, I think that's a kind of a paradigm for what happens to women in a society that does not support the kinds of changes that I think Steinem is asking for.
My guest is feminist writer Deirdre English. She's the former editor of Mother Jones magazine. More after this short break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is feminist writer Deirdre English, and we're talking about the state of the women's movement. One criticism of the women's movement I've been reading is, the women's movement promised us the impossible. They said that we could have it all, that we could have the career and the family and have it all in balance and be really happy. And I wonder if you think that that's a fair criticism, if you think that the women's movement ever, you know, pretended to promise that.
No, you know, I don't. I mean, the women's movement, feminism is not something you can order off a menu, you know, with all the trimmings. And of course, I think that's a very unfair criticism to lay on to the sort of pioneering leaders of the movement, women like Gloria Steinem. They let us down. I mean, in the sense, Sally Quinn in the Washington Post wrote that article recently, blaming the leaders for not having delivered the revolution. Well, it just doesn't work that way. But, you know, on another level, a more visionary level, feminism actually does offer a vision of having it all for both men and women, and that's one of its greatest strengths. It offers the vision of men who can really reconnect on a fundamental level with respect for life and love love of others and nurturance and openness, involvement with their families. Men don't need to be status objects and career-driven workaholics to constantly fighting for status and hierarchies. And men can have true romantic love only really after the feminist revolution. And that's always been one of the promises of feminism. Feminism has always had a deep strain of romanticism, arguing that only when men and women are truly equal can they truly love one another. Only when you eliminate dominance and subservience from their relations. So feminism offers us great values. And yes, it offers women the opportunity to use their bodies and their minds to the fullest.
When you look around, where do you look for the force behind the women's movement now? I mean, is there a women's movement? How important is the National Organization for Women, which of course still exists and is going strong, but is that the center of the women's movement?
There is no center, and I think that's okay. Maybe that's really good. It's a measure of how widespread the women's movement is, and kind of means that if mistakes are made in one area, that's okay because other areas are going strong. I mean, even during these doldrum years that we've talked about, there have been incredible achievements. Women have been hitting the glass ceiling on the one hand, and yet other women have been succeeding in their own, starting their own businesses. We have seen backlash and regression in the area of abortion rights, and yet we've seen pioneering new legislation and changes in police practice in the way that rape is handled, battered women cases are handled, and obviously in sexual harassment. These big publicized cases like Anita Hill's and Patricia Bowman's have been lost, but consciousness has been raised. So it's there's no one clear snapshot that you can take that says, that the line on the chart is going up or going down. It's chaotic. Social change is chaotic. But I think the overwhelming sense now is that the women's movement is out there. Yes, it's looking for leaders. It's looking for new leaders and getting some and craving others, especially ones who would run for office. But it's gathering its forces. Feminism is like a wave building right now. You can really sense it.
How much of your writing now is about women's issues?
A great deal of it, sometimes more than I wish. I don't always want to think that this is my topic. I'm interested in everything about life. And yet the urgency of and the intellectual fascination for me of the gender revolution constantly calls to me.
What are you working on now?
I'm actually working on a television series about the second wave. The working title of this series, it's a four-part series, the working title is The Second Wave, An Unfinished Revolution.
We only have a couple of minutes left, but I'm going to change the subject on you here briefly. I've heard that your house burned down in the Oakland fire.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you have a place to live now?
Yes. yeah, it's definitely, I and the man that I live with have moved into a place, and that's okay. And actually, it's even, I must say, nice to have, empty bookshelves and lots of shelf space.
Empty bookshelves because all your books were burned, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I felt crowded in my old house. I didn't have enough closet space. Well, when all your things burn, that isn't a problem anymore.
Are you saying there's something liberating so, about losing everything you
a
own?
Little bit. Yeah. A little bit. That aspect of it is kind of nice. Just living, I feel since the fire, I've been living essentially out of, with things I could pack in one suitcase. And that does give me a certain sense of freedom. It's like the conflagration just, burned up my past. And now I have a a certain sense of freedom and an opportunity to reinvent myself that comes out of it. This is not to say that I recommend the experience. You know, it was devastating for many people, and for me, it was devastating in that I lost my I lost 4.5 years of research.
Oh, on the TV series or on a book?
Yeah, on the basically research that was for a book and was being used for this television series.
So what are you doing?
And I lost all my journals, and I lost all my family photographs, and I lost my father's letters to me, which my father was a very literate and articulate man who wrote me beautiful, beautiful letters, and I had always saved them, and I had always thought that someday I would write something based on them, and that's gone now. So that is what really has hurt.
Well, I wish you the best.
And, yeah, well, thank you very much.
Thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you, Terry.
Deirdre English is a feminist writer and the former editor of Mother Jones Magazine. This is Fresh Air.